day of this session will be Thursday, this legislative session, so I'll try to bring you up to speed as to everything that's happened thus far this session. Remember that June 30th of this year is not the end of the session. The 146th General Assembly will reconvene in January, so any bill that isn't finished or hasn't been dealt with by this June 30 will be carried over in the same form to January. So the bills will not be dying at the end of this week as they normally do, or as they do every other year. Anyway, wanted to just make sure you knew that. I want to go through the whole list of bills just to kind of make sure we all understand where everything has, how everything has transpired this season. House Bill 31 was a bill that we introduced to change our tax due date. That bill has been signed into law in April. House Bill 152 is a bill that we introduced that would relieve us the responsibility and the cost of retraining our assessors to be appraisers. That bill has been tabled, and we'll revisit that issue in January after I've had some time to spend with the Delaware Council of Real Estate Appraisers, who are establishing rules and regulations for assessors as well as appraisers. And I'm hoping to get all of that straightened out, all that difference straightened out between now and January, to come back to you in January with some resolution to this issue. But this bill currently has been tabled, and we support that tabling until January. Okay. House Bill 60 was introduced in the early part of this year and tabled in the Agriculture Committee because there was a lot of objection to this bill, including from yourselves, about the added cost to our dog licensing enforcement efforts. I'll come back to that issue again at the end of this report. That bill has been tabled in the House. There were a couple of bills that were initially introduced and then consolidated into one bill, which is House Substitute 1 for House Bill 101. This is a bill that deals with DLDOT's regulations and gives DLDOT a lot more authority in land use decisions as it pertains to traffic impact studies and traffic analyses. That bill was tabled in the House Transportation, Land Use, and Infrastructure Committee back in early June, and I don't think we're going to see that bill worked on this year. It may come up again in January. House Bill 26 was signed into law on June 3rd. That bill deals with nutrient management, an agriculture issue that we had input in, and there was an amendment to that bill. House Bill 64 is a bill that we've had a lot of concern with, and we've offered a number of concerns about this bill, and it has been amended, I'm happy to say. I believe that this bill is now in a form that is palatable for us, at least that's what you've told me so far. It's passed the Senate, and that was back in June 16th, and it currently sits on the House ready. As a matter of fact, it's on the House agenda for today, so I'm expecting to see it dealt with today or tomorrow. Unless you tell me differently, we're going to continue with our no objection position on this bill.
What exactly did the amendment do?
Okay, I provided for you in your package on Friday a rather extensive analysis of this, anticipating this question. First of all, I can tell you that in your package there was the copy of Senate Bill 64 and its amendment, and then I also included for you a copy of Senate Bill 64 fleshed out with the amendment in the original bill. So you can see the red line through words mean they're coming out of the bill, and blue wording with an underline is going in the bill. And I'll try to summarize for you how these changes in the amendment have affected the bill. First of all, originally the bill required local adoption. That is no longer the wording in the bill. The bill now says to be considered by local governments. So what is being considered are the regulations. The Secretary of DENREC shall develop standards for flooding and stormwater, And then earlier in the bill, without the amendment, it said that those rules would become adopted by local government. Now they're to be considered by local government. But not only that, when these regulations are formulated earlier in the bill, it said that they would be formulated by the secretary and adopted by the locals with a committee appointed by the Secretary of GenRec. Now the committee is actually listed in the bill, and it has a very broad list of stakeholders who will have interests in flooding and stormwater management. So the committee will no longer be appointed by the secretary. It'll be appointed from the verbiage in the bill. I did find one error in that. I pointed out at the committee hearing in the House chamber last week, line 61 says, one member of the House appointed by the Delaware Farm Bureau. I asked the Speaker of the House if that was okay, if he had one of his members appointed by the Farm Bureau, as a joke. And they said that was a typo, they'd make a change on that one. But
passes, when would you expect this committee to be appointed?
It says within 9 months of the adoption. So the committee will be formed within 9 months, and they'll have their first meeting within 9 months, and start to formulate the consensus by which the secretary will make the rules. Then after the rules are promulgated with consultation of the committee, they'll go out to all the locals for comment, including us, and then they'll come back to the committee before they go to the General Assembly for final adoption. So there'll be lots of opportunity to have your fingerprint or your fashion put into this legislation before the stormwater regulations are formed. Other points that I wanted to mention is that the Secretary shall develop standards after consulting with the Floodplain and Drainage Advisory Committee, which are listed in the bill. The committee is not named by the Secretary any longer. They're named in the bill. And there was a paragraph in here that said that the department, which is DENREC, would approve the regulations. That's been taken out completely. Review of standards by locals and go back to the legislature for final appointment. I think that's very important because it gives us really three times to touch those regulations before they become law. And finally, you did tell me last week, or 2 weeks ago, that you supported the Secretary of DENREC having the ability to act in times of emergency without going through the normal processes for permits and those sorts of regulations that require a lot of waiting time. So in the event of a major storm or some major emergency, our Secretary of DENREC would be able to act sort of unilaterally without going through the permitting process. That does not, of course, relieve him of the requirements for permitting with the federal regulations, just state regulations. So I had included that bill for you in red and blue so you could read through it. We had taken the position so far that with the bill amended, we have no objection. That's what I've been telling people.
Right. The number 15th line, I think 83, three representatives of Delaware Association of Counties, one from each county.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean a county commissioner or council person. It means that we could, the president of the Delaware Association of Counties could appoint
an
individual from each county.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be
it could be an engineer on staff.
Okay.
It could be whoever that person chooses. But it'll be someone from each county.
Okay.
I would assume it means from the county government structure, either an elected official or a staff person.
Right.
I think that's what it was intended to be.
I understand that. We wouldn't just go outside, right? Okay. And so that's really the only representation the county has on that committee.
Well, and SCAT will also have representation.
SCAT will, right.
The Sussex County Association of Towns. That was added into the amendment.
Okay.
Because the towns wanted to have an opportunity since they'll be required to promulgate new rules once this is done as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's three on there from the League of Local Governments too.
Right. Okay.
Right.
As long as we all share the same concerns, mm-hmm. those groups. My only concern, this bill will have such an effect on the county government, and we got a lot of people.
Well, now we have. I think the way the bill is amended, it gives us lots of opportunity to have input before the stormwater regulations become law.
Okay, thank you. Hal?
Yes, sir.
I mean, a lot was made that these are not mandatory on the counties and municipalities now, correct?
Correct.
But yet, when you look at, say, line 104, review of standards on through line 114, it certainly gives the impression, maybe this is worded, that the counties are expected to comply. We're given opportunity to comment, we're given opportunity to suggest how it may cause a hardship, but at the end of the day, it still appears that this is going to be expected of us. And
I believe that's an accurate assumption.
So, I mean, it's double talk. On the one hand, they say it's not mandatory, but on the next, they put the framework in to make it.
Well, I think the message that we get in Senate Bill 64 is that the state believes that there's enough flooding issues throughout the state that the state needs to try and take some action. And they want the action to be in cooperation with local government. Mm-hmm. And I think that the amendments show their earnest desire to offer some remedy to the flooding problems, however, to do that with a lot of local influence. Mm-hmm. That's sort of how I read all of what's been done to this bill.
It's still strictly advisory, is what I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't support it.
Actually, I was sitting here thinking about like Vance was thinking, what Vance just said. I was really thinking how they're just going to put the hammer to us, and we're going to do what they're saying, and just we'll just go along with it. That's the way it looks to me.
Well, it does appear that DNREC has been asked, at least, to help and remedy a number of flooding issues in all three counties. In the last couple of years, we've had some serious rainstorms that have flooded homes as well as businesses, public facilities, and they've made presentations explaining their frustration in not being able to really deal with these problems because there isn't sufficient code to allow them to do what needs to be done to drain the floodwaters and other various remedies. So this is an attempt to begin to address that issue. It's a complaint-based piece of legislation, I would believe, that they're hearing complaints from some of our constituents as well as from Kent and Newcastle County, people who have their homes flooded and asking the state to help. And I think this is the state's attempt at that. If you want to change my orders as how I relate to this bill in the General Assembly, that's your prerogative.
Well, I don't know that I've got the votes, but I would make a motion that we direct our Deputy County Administrator Hal Godwin to advise the General Assembly that we do not support Senate Bill 64 with the amendment because of a number of questions that still remain as to intent.
I think that'd be a good one to carry over to January. Give us time to look at that thing. Because it's a dangerous bill.
That's a motion.
If we really wanted to.
We have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Yep, I got it.
We have a motion and a second. Do you have any questions on the motion?
Yeah, this is the bill that we had somebody here from Prime Hook Association talk to us about the breaches that are allowing the bay water into the communities and on the farm fields and actually into the refuge itself. So that part of the bill is really what I'm looking for. But my understanding is that since it has been modified, it's advisory. It looks. But the important part to me, of course, is the emergency power that the Secretary of DNREC would have as far as state regulations are concerned to save lives and property.
I think that's what is right. I think that they ought to narrow it down to one section of the county. If Prime Hook's the problem, let's work on Prime Hook. Don't bring in west of Georgetown or east of Georgetown or whatever. Or just can't. And I don't think we can. I have problems when we give secretaries more power and take away from local government. I think we sit here knowing what the situations are and conditions. We ought to make our own decisions here. We're elected. If we don't do it right, we'll be replaced.
Well, the dilemma is,
can't be replaced.
Sam, the dilemma is the county government, we don't deal with these issues. Mm-hmm. They deal with it, and they're trying to get a handle on it. So, you could say we can make decisions here, but we don't have any agency this.
They are overriding us in a lot of things. We just got done with a lawsuit, one the thing, and this here's a roundabout way coming through the back door, trying to really defeat what we've won. and that's the buffers thing. It's a roundabout way. It's a big picture here. It's not just one little narrow scope road here we're riding down.
Well, I sure would appreciate any kind of advice the state can give us. I've had so many problems in harvesting the low-lying lands and houses flooded, and I'm dealing with one right now in a new community. I just looked at pictures of the lawn. It's saturated with water, and there are puddles of water. It's a mess, but it's a real issue in my district.
That was 2 years ago.
No, right today.
Well, honey, you must got rain I didn't see, because I'm sitting on dry, high, dry land. But anyway, I try to solve the problem. In a park down the road from me, we wouldn't have a ditch put in. And it's going to take care of it. If we have another rain like we had 2 years ago. And that's what we need to work on is individuals here. Just go out here and not make a whole lot of laws that gives more government power that's not even elected. This guy's not even elected. He comes in and tells us what we're going to do. If I don't do the job right, I guarantee you people out here is going to say, Sam, we don't need you. You're going the wrong direction. This guy you can't replace. Higher power, that's all it is, more government. I have a lot of problem with that. We need to study that bill more, and I don't think we've looked at it good enough. With this new revision, that's good. It's going in the right direction, but I still have problems with it. And the power is not in Sussex County in that bill, because how many is on that committee, 9?
The committee, I think, is 20.
Well, whatever.
Big 2 or 3 total.
Sussex County has no control on that bill, I guarantee you.
Okay, more questions or comments on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
The motion is to oppose it, that is?
The motion is to
direct me to oppose it.
Direct Hal to oppose the bill as written.
Correct.
As amended.
As amended, yes.
Okay. No, yeah. I see it as strictly advisory, and I really need your cooperation on the problems at Prime Hook that are a real danger. So, no, I wouldn't vote for that.
Mr. Cole?
Well, the line here that says floodplain and drainage standards shall include but not limited to definitions and general requirements and criteria. It says local adoption. They struck that. Now it's consideration. I believe that gives us the wiggle room. When you're considering something, we do it with a land use plan. We've considered it. So I think it's fine. I think they've addressed the concerns with that word consideration. So I think that's the key to the whole thing. We will consider things and then make our decisions here locally. So I think we could go forward with it because we don't have an agency that deals with flooding. When people have complaints, they call us. We have to call our state legislators, and we want to see things done, and maybe this is the way to get it done.
We have a local soil and water conservation out here that deals with it.
It's a state agency.
It sure is. But it
your vote, Mr. Cole.
I'll vote not. No, I don't oppose this because I think the key word when they made the change, when they amended it to put the word in consideration, I think the word consideration. So I'm fine with Mr. Godwin going to Dover, saying that we are comfortable with the amended version.
Okay. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I do share some concerns about that. I think that there's a need for something like this. I really do. But I think it's something that they should put a little more thought into, starting with item line 105 about the review of the standards. It's almost like if you can't show them how it's a hardship, sorry about your luck or whatever. I do understand that Georgia, I think, is correct where it does give some wiggle room, but I know sometimes they read things different than I do on how they approve stuff. So I'm going to vote yes. But Mr. Howe?
Yes, sir.
Sorry. I'm going to vote yes, but when you go up there, I think, personally speaking, I think there's a need for this. The concern, I think, that all of us have is that line 105 about the adoption of minimum standards and reviewing and telling them why it's a hardship. That's my hang-up.
Yeah, that 105 reads, within 6 months of adoption of minimum standards, the 3 county governments and all municipal governments, as appropriate, shall review and prepare comments regarding their individual codes and ordinances to determine if they are consistent with the minimum standards. In other words, the minimum standards will be adopted by the General Assembly after the process. Such review and comments shall identify areas where existing requirements meet or exceed these recommendations and standards or are functionally equivalent. So that's the part you object to.
And then, well, right on down, and then B.
All of what's in the blue, A and B.
Right.
Okay.
I think it needs to be clarified whether, in fact, they're going to hold you to this, to tell them what hardship you're going to have. Mm-hmm. And if their mind, it's not a hardship, they're going to move forward. Or with a fact in the very front of the bill where it says they struck out local adoption and put it in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's saying two different things. You know, in the front it says it's going to be for consideration by local governments. Mm-hmm. But then in the back, you got to tell them where the hardship is, why you wouldn't adopt it. And they might not have the same view on hardship that this council would have.
You want a definition of hardship? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I want them to tell me what that really means. That last blue, that A and B, and that we talked about.
You want definition of that section?
What their intention? What that definition? What that means? What's the definition of that?
Everett, can I ask Everett a question?
Sure.
When on that in that area, where line 106, I guess, into 107, where it says. They'll determine if they are consistent with minimal standards or something. In other words, when DNRAC adopts the minimal standards, that's the law of the land, correct?
When the General Assembly adopts
them, yes. When the General Assembly adopts these minimum standards for DNRAC, whether we get whatever, it doesn't matter what we have in our ordinance or something, basically aren't the minimal standards by the state legislature that are adopted by DNRAC enforceable throughout the whole state from Newcastle down, right?
Well, there's recently been a case that we challenged that, whether or not it's getting into land use issues, for example.
Well, I mean, short of the, you know, that, I guess, that they haven't gone into a... I'm just saying, typically when they adopt, unless they're challenged, right, the minimal standard, we don't even know what the minimum standards are because they haven't been, I guess, formulated. Right. But once they're formulated and adopted, that's the law of the land, unless there's a court case, which is basically anything. That's the way the system works. So I'm saying we're pretty much got to comply with it anyway, no matter what they do.
Well, I understood that as part of the question and the concern that Mr. Phillips was expressing.
Well, then they said the next sentence says such review and comments you'd have to identify to make sure that we're in compliance. Then we'd have to be in compliance, I would think. Correct?
That's correct. And again, I believe that was part of the issue that Mr. Phillips was addressing, that the state, by adopting these, was then, it's not just advisory, but they were actually in placing standards that we would be mandated to comply with.
Well, that's exactly right. Right. So whether we support the bill or not, they adopt the bill, they're going to adopt new standards, right?
The question on the table, Mr. Cole, is should we support the bill? And I think you've answered the question perfectly. We should not, because it's going to be a mandatory taking of our authority.
I'm saying that the agency's has to have some standards for them to operate. They just don't operate without standards, so they're going to adopt standards whether you like it or not. We're going to be stuck with standards adopted by the legislature at the state level, right? We got some are there standards currently?
In this county, there are very few standards.
I mean, does the state...
We've got an entire soil conservation district that has standards. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, we have current standards now, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Right? And basically, we have to comply with them. So when they adopt new ones, and they're basically that sentence there says, then we're going to have to come into compliance with them, which is what happens. That's how the system works. So I don't know how that can be controversial, that first one. Then the review and the comments, local government, I guess the standards would represent a hardship. So I guess if there's a hardship for us to do them, maybe a definition of hardship would be something good. I mean, I think when we send back the message, and I think you're on the right track, Mike, we need to tell them why we don't like it. We just can't say we don't like it and be vague about it, because they're going to ignore us, you know, or if we have some good comments why we oppose it, then I think they'll look at them and address them. And Hal would have something to talk about. He just can't come and say, they don't like it. And they'll say, well, why? And Hal's really doesn't have an answer.
I mean, I think certainly, I understand the concern of in Mrs. Deaver's district with the people down at the beach with the flooding and the break through the dunes, that kind of stuff. What really concerns me is where it says that these standards, and then it says you got to prove the hardship to them why you shouldn't adopt them. But...
Well,
I mean, what we think is a hardship might not be the same as what they think, and vice versa. So I think what that concerns me, the hardship justification or whatever.
Well, Mike, I could be more supportive if we would then say B on line such and such. We have a problem with that. We would like to see that clarified. But just in other words, we're too generic, too vague, just to send Hal up there to say no. So I think that really gets nowhere when he's trying to explain our position. So somehow maybe we ought to take a week and have Hal come back or somebody come back, talk to some people. Get a position.
They're going to be numb on Thursday.
Okay, well, I don't know.
We can come back in January.
But I mean, I don't think that...
Or maybe the recommendation is to put this off till January. Maybe that's
right. This bill is on the agenda for today, I believe.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's likely to be law by the end of the week.
Sure.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I'm saying.
But you can certainly today express our concern about
it. I will.
At least
I'll
my concern about the idea
that.
About hardship.
As the discussion has gone, if you'd like me to, I'll try to explain what I've heard in discussions
sure.
back
that's
and forth.
That's fine.
What I've heard back and forth between...
Well, wait a minute.
Mr. Phillips.
The motion was to oppose. The motion
okay.
was passed.
Okay, that's it.
Now, if you want to elaborate the president's comments, you know, of course you can do that. But from a council perspective, I think it's pretty clear what the motion is.
I'll move along.
Do you give the vote when you tell them the what the
certainly
vote was?
You can
let
that.
Them know, Jones,
well, then,
you're supporting.
You give the majority. You
three,
say
three to two, we're against
mm-hmm.
it.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
But I think is it proper? Is it okay, Everett, to get a consensus on why we oppose it at this point that we could direct our...
We need more time for studying. That's the main reason.
No, I think there's a I would sense a consensus maybe that there is concern with the hardship area, relating to the hardship.
I think it would be fair that Mr. Godwin could recant some
sure.
of the comments that were made
yep.
When the
Are
vote
you
was taken.
Hardship thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to define hardship.
Right.
The time is of the essence when it comes to the beach areas that are flooded. So, and
sure.
you know. That timing, we can't wait on that.
So do you have a kind of a feel? I think based on Mr. Vincent's comments, I have same similar concerns, and I think Mrs. Deaver does. So you can say there's a...
You can carry that forward.
We'll do.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Feel free to
Next thing.
Elaborate that.
Next issue on my list is House Bill 143, which is a bill that was introduced. I thought we had some interest in it because it spoke to new resources to fight violent crime. That bill has been tabled as well. I brought that to your attention some
why
weeks ago.
Why was it tabled? Do you know?
Excuse me?
Do you know why it was tabled?
It was tabled because I believe there was disagreement as to how to disperse the funds that would be established in this law.
But the idea has not been the idea.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of support among local police jurisdictions to see this bill passed, but in a different form.
Isn't this requiring the pawn shops and whatnot to report with computers what they're taking in and what they're selling and buying and selling?
I'm not certain that that's in the bill. I'd have to read it.
I was told that it was a better way to keep track of these pawn shops that are maybe accepting, you know, hot goods.
Yeah.
And even the scrap yards.
I'm not sure that was in this bill. Maybe
okay.
that was
all right.
That
then
may have been in legislation.
Check it, antique shops.
Okay. House Bill 126. House Bill 126. Connie Holland came here on the 14th and explained the details of that bill to you. It passed the House, and it has. Let me see. 126. I don't think that's made the agenda. It passed the House, but it passed one chamber or the other. I'm not sure which, and it's on the other agenda for today, I think. No, I'm sorry. It's not on today's agenda. So House Bill 126 has passed
the House, but it says here the Senate it
right.
passed the Senate with amendments, now goes back to the House.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
And that bill deals with the removing the, well, Connie explained it to you, it removes the Livable Delaware Advisory Council, and all the comp plans will be reviewed by, will be reviewed by the Cabinet Committee on State Planning Issues now. Okay. And you had told me that you did not object to that one, that you supported it. Senate Bill 138 is a bill that was introduced. I have not spoken to yet, except to tell people that I didn't think we would object to this bill. This bill will extend the term of our comprehensive plan from 5 years to 10. Very simply, that's what it does.
We're the fastest growing county in the state, so I mean, why would we want that?
Excuse me?
Mr. Baker, did the county government meeting the other night come to a consensus that they supported this?
Yes, it was my understanding that they did, that the legal, or that the Delaware Association of Counties supported it.
Supporting making it 10 years, every 10 years?
Yes, the concern is that it just is such a difficult process to update the land use plan. It takes, well, really takes at a minimum a year of really working hard with quite a few different meetings and there and with the public and different community groups, and it's quite a process to pull it all together in public hearings, of course, that we're, you know, you're all aware of, and then at the same, and then implement ordinances and try to get that done within the 5-year time period, and then try to figure out what the impact of those ordinances really was. Was this a good thing or not a good thing? And so, and there's also, of course, an expense to do it, you know, the staff time plus the cost of hiring a consultant if you hire a consultant. So that was the concern. I know Mr. Lank is here. I don't know if he had any thoughts on that or not, but the towns right now are, every 10 years, they are required to do an update. And then the 5 years, they just do a report. And that was one of the suggestions that there's no amendment at this time that I'm aware of, but there has been a suggestion that be added to this bill, but you know, which would match what the towns do. So basically, the towns right now are doing are having an update to the land use plan every 10 years, and then they just do a review to their city council, and it's up to them if they want to suggest changes or not at that time. There's a 5-year period.
Of course, in my district, in 10 years, it grew by 10,000 people.
Yes.
It's really growing.
Yes.
It needs plans.
I have heard from reliable sources, as Mr. Baker said, that the State Planning Office may bring an amendment to this bill to align us exactly with the municipalities. Currently, as he explained, the municipalities review and update every 10 years, and let me read to you what they do every 5 years. It says, at least every 5 years, a municipality shall review its adopted comprehensive plan to determine if its provisions are still relevant, given changing conditions in the municipality or in the surrounding areas. The adopted comprehensive plan shall be revised, updated, and amended as necessary, and readopted every 10 years. Connie Holland told me that she would like to see an amendment to this effect to the Bill 138 to then make us do the sort of a reread and just change the word municipality to county in what I just read you. I attached that for you. I haven't seen that amendment yet. It hasn't been introduced, and Senate Bill 138 is on today's agenda, I believe. Yes, it's on the Senate agenda today. So amendment or not, it looks like it's going to go. The amendment may be offered while it's on the floor being discussed, but I think that bill will probably see some action.
Well, I hope it gets the amendment. And I think we should have to look at it at least every 5 years. You know, it's amendable. That comprehensive plan can be amended.
I got a question for Everett.
Mr. Cole.
I'm giving you a lot of questions. We can, the county council can change the land use ordinances anytime we want. This legislation, the quality of life legislation, all this land use legislation coming out of Dover doesn't mean that we have to wait like every 5 years to do it or every 10 years. We can revise, we can update, we can amend anytime.
Because it's our ordinance.
That's right. And so we can constantly be changing. We don't have to wait. Now, it's, what it's saying is if you don't do anything every 10 years, you have to revisit it and go over it again. Like, right. So yeah, I don't see any problem with the 10 years because it is painful because you know, just for us to mobilize, it's like running for election every 2 years. As soon as you get one adopted, you start right up again. And a lot of it is just regurgitating the same stuff because not enough has changed. So I think if there's something that's changed, the conditions have changed in this county, I think we will all, you know, the people who sit here should be able to recognize it. If not, they shouldn't be sitting here. And and if there's support, change some. So I don't see any problem with the 10 years, to be honest with you. So.
Anything else, sir?
So we support that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Except I have another bill to show you. It just came out.
4-1.
Yep, 4-1. Used to have that a lot.
What I'm giving you is a bill that was just introduced last Thursday. This is Senate Bill 156. Earlier in my report today, I told you about House Bill 60, the dog bill that was tabled early in the season. This is the exact same bill, only it's in the Senate. This is a trick that Congress usually does. I've never seen the Delaware General Assembly do this before. But if you can't get it through one chamber, you start in the other chamber, and that's what they're doing.
Dogs.
Now, this is the exact same bill that you were very opposed to back in January and February, only it's over in the Senate. In the House, it was tabled because there was a lot of opposition to it. Mm. I've already spoken to the committee chair and two of the committee members. It was placed in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, why on earth do you think that a dog bill that deals with the counties would be put in the Judiciary Committee? Ah. Because one of the sponsors is the chairman of this committee, Patricia Blevins, state senator, former mayor of Ellesmere, is the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I spoke to Patty Blevins yesterday, and she assured me that this bill will not move before January, because I was really nervous about seeing this bill on the Senate floor in the next couple of days without any committee hearing. And if they could get it through the Senate, they'd run it across the hall to the House, even though it had been tabled over there. It's a different bill. It's the same bill, but it's got a different number on it. So what I have been assured by Senator Blevins is that this bill will not see Senate action or committee hearing until January of 2012. So we have a few months to think about it. But it's the exact same bill that deals with how large the dog box should be and what hours of night you're allowed to tether your dog outside.
I don't know. I think we should be addressing the commercial, you know, places and but private homes with their dogs. And I mean, who's got the wherewithal and the time and the money to be getting a complaint and checking somebody measuring a doghouse?
Well, your objection in February was mostly a fiscal objection, in that now that the state has dumped this responsibility on us
and let us mess with
and
it.
Cost us well over $500,000 a year, now they want to add to our responsibility, and that was your objection. In February was to object to the cost, another unfunded mandate, to quote one of you.
But we want to be humane in the way we handle.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, but I think we could look, I mean, there's just the enforcement of
right
length of tethers, and if they're out more than 15 minutes, that kind of stuff is just ridiculous, and it's unenforceable.
It appears, Mr. Godwin, that we also oppose that same bill in the Senate.
Yeah, just keep it to the commercial.
I haven't heard anybody say not.
We're
so
fine,
if you want me to continue opposing that dog legislation, I shall.
Mm-hmm. Please, sir.
We'll put it. Okay. We'll let our engineering department take care of it.
Yeah.
Tell them
okay.
That's what we want.
Okay.
Guy at the airport.
Is that all, sir?
I think I have my direction on legislative matters.
Okay.
I also have another issue for your consideration this
local
morning.
Law enforcement
and
grant
those
requests.
Are law enforcement grants, yes, sir.
Please, sir.
We have three requests for disbursement, the first being from Frankfort. Frankfort intends to purchase a new Dodge Charger police patrol car with these funds, and they're also going to apply for funds in the next fiscal year because they believe it will cost more than the one-year allotment to purchase the car and equip it as they want. So the funds from this year will be used for partial funding of a new police car, and that Frankfort is expanding their police department. So this will be the car that will give them that expansion. The town of Millsboro would also like to request the balance of their fund, which is $10,553.61, for equipment. They'll be buying some cameras to be used in the cars and the installation of those cameras. The town of Ocean View would like to request a full draw on their allotment, which is $20,000 for the year. They'll be using those dollars for markings, equipment, new police car, some computer parts, ammunition, badges, staff analyses, ballistic shield, training and projector. Sounds like a number of different things that will be funded by their $20,000 allotment.
Now, do these town councils vote on that, or does the police chief decide it himself, the way the money's going to be used?
Well, as my experience is that the town budget is normally approved by the mayor and council.
Mm-hmm.
And in that budget, there will be a police department budget. And these dollars should be going into that police department budget to fund things the police department is doing. And the orders that I get are always signed by the police chief.
Right, but the council is aware of it and it is authorizing the way it gets used. Is that right?
I'm not certain of that, but I would expect. I know one town used to require the town manager's a signature. Mm-hmm. That's no longer there. Mm-hmm. But I would assume that the town government is aware of the, at least the financial responsibilities of their police chief. No.
Not always.
They got a bad government, don't they?
They got a problem.
I'm not so sure, but the ordinance wasn't set up to specifically give authority to the police force.
Currently, I don't know what the restrictions are. I don't think we have any. What is it?
We don't have enough.
We don't got nothing.
Other than police.
It seemed like when this program was first implemented, there was a concern on council that the money would be politicized if it flowed through the town councils and that the requests should come from the police chiefs. At the time, it sounded good. If there's a problem, I don't have a problem revisiting it, but I almost think that's the way our ordinance reads.
The applications that I get are always signed by the police chief, and in many cases, I'll have some dialogue back and forth on the phone with the chief about their requests.
I'm getting suggestions from one of my towns that we require that the council vote on this.
A resolution.
On the way it's going to be used.
Maybe some sort of a motion.
Okay. I would like to interject to request that maybe the accounting department, finance department, bring it on the agenda in July to discuss procedures, policies, and take a look at the ordinance, dissect it, get the opinion of council, and see if we can start right off with July with new policies and
food procedures.
Mm-hmm. Don't we send a check to the city of Ocean View? Or you don't send it to?
It's to the police department.
They have their own accounts and stuff like that we have? Okay. I mean, I have not heard any kind of issue about it. I don't know, if it's not broke, why fix it? I mean, it seems to be working. I'm sure all these towns know what's going on. If they don't like it, then they can change it. Can't they require that any funds, like we do here with any of our departments? So, I don't know why we need to go change ordinances and all that stuff. I don't think there's enough of an outcry or a concern at this point to change anything.
Well, it sounds as if Mrs. Webb would like to bring that to council in July.
Yeah, get a clear consensus for us going forward that we're all on the same page, whether it's a 3-2 or,
Well, I got a complaint about the way one police chief used the money.
From who,
people on the council.
I'm aware of that.
Well, they ought to bring it up, that council, and they ought to take a position and write us an official letter. Mm-hmm. I mean, just one person to talk to you. I don't know if that's enough to. Like I said, if I don't see a problem, I don't hear about a problem.
But don't that police chief answer to the council?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They all do. Yeah,
I guess they want us to come down with some rules that will save them.
Yeah, make it easier on them if they've got a rogue
motion,
cop.
Mr. Godwin, you have a motion?
Yes, sir, I do.
Please bring it.
Mm-hmm. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve 3 disbursements from the Municipal Police Grant Fund to the towns of Frankfort and Ocean View in the amount of $20,000 and the town of Millsboro in the amount of $10,553.61 as requested.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second,
Mrs. Deaver. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you,
sir.
Mr. President, I will report back after the General Assembly has adjourned in July with the results of everything that we're watching.
Sure.
Mr. Godwin maybe email us a report as soon as the General Assembly closes so we don't have to wait?
I generally do one before I go to bed July 1st, about 6 in the morning.
Okay. Make sure you spell check.
I'll do that.
And Mrs. Webb, if you would work on something to bring that to us in late July or something, we can talk about that.
Yes.
I know we had one issue this year that was a little questionable that we need to address, so yeah, it'll be fine. Mr. Mike Izzo, come on down.